Well, it's good to see all of you tonight. And Justin, it's great to have you back with us this evening, brother. God bless you. Welcome. Nice to have you again. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight that we are more valuable than the sparrows. And we knew that, Lord, but of course we are. But the point is, if you watch out for the sparrow, if not one sparrow falls to the ground, but you don't know about it. You told us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. All of our days are recorded in your book before one of them comes to be. You knit us together in our mother's womb. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that because of your incredible generosity and kindness, we are your precious possession and you treasure us. We don't deserve it, Lord. We don't deserve it at all. I do not deserve it at all. As I told you this morning, Lord, in my time with you, I understand, not fully, not completely, but I get the anger of God. I get the justice of God. I don't have to look any farther than the mirror to understand human depravity. But what is so hard to grasp is the incredible love of God for despicable creatures we call the human race. It's just unbelievable, Lord, and a testimony to your incredible character and your incredible generosity that you would love us so, that you would make us your very own children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, bestowed upon us, lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. And we do not yet know exactly what we'll be like, but we know we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And Father, we bless you tonight, and we thank you tonight, that we have the confident assurance we are loved by God. Thank you, Jesus, for your life, for your blood, for your sacrifice, for your willingness to become our sin, that we might be a righteousness. Now teach us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to finish the series, Tapping into God. And so this is part four. If this is your first time tonight, welcome. It's great to have you. You can go to strongdisciple.com and you can hear the first three parts if you'd like, Tapping into God. And I believe it'd really be a big blessing to you and help you in your spiritual journey and in your faith. This week was an interesting week for me. I debated all week whether or not to change my topic because of a couple things that occurred. And I'm not going to get into them a lot this evening, but one in particular I thought was fitting. I have a friend from many, many years ago, and been a dear friend for many years. I haven't spoken to them in a long time. And I found out in sort of an odd and roundabout way that this dear friend, who's a believer, is getting divorced. And it was shocking and it was heartbreaking because I don't really know a little bit much about the situation other than a simple post. And the reason I share that story is for this reason. I'm going to share with you what I consider them incredibly valuable nuggets of truth tonight. I hope that you will consider them such, but I don't know if you will. Nothing in your life, hear me, is more important than your faith. And nothing in your life is more important than every single day of your life building your faith stronger and stronger and stronger. You cannot coast in the Christian life. You cannot put your faith on autopilot. In fact, let me share this with you. This is very interesting. Faith does not grow on its own. Faith grows through intentional effort, exercise, and the nurturing of your belief system. Now, you may not think that's true. I'll tell you why. You think, well, wait a minute, Mark. Just let go and let God. I mean, look at the world we live in. Look at the world. So let's talk about it a moment. How easy it would be to misinterpret this aspect of our Christian journey. What happens every spring? Every winter, every fall, stuff starts to die. It falls off the trees. It lays on the ground. The grass goes brown. And then the icy cold covers. It's buried under snow. And every spring, without any effort of its own, and actually without any effort on our part, the grass turns green, the greens keep growing, the trees keep growing, and the weeds grow. And in some fields, the wildflowers grow. And of course, we tend to carve up the land and we tend to sculpt it and we plant new things. But the entire world, in one sense, all of its vegetation grows on its own, for God makes it grow. But your faith does not work that way. God helps you. God will help your faith. But if you do not build your faith every single day, I promise you, you're going to be in trouble. Trouble is going to come to your life. You're going to begin to not see life or yourself accurately. You're not going to see your need of God. This story last week, though heartbreaking, I have seen over and over and over and over in almost the last 30 years of ministry that I've been pastoring. And I see individuals, or I hear of individuals that, you know, they moved on. Or, you know, God led them over here and they go over there and they just begin to drift. I've had people right in my own churches just begin to drift. They just put life on autopilot. They just don't take God and their faith seriously. Please listen very carefully to me tonight, please. Because I'm going to give you the essentials for building a strong faith. But listen carefully to this. You cannot, now listen carefully, you cannot have a lazy mind and build a strong faith. You cannot have a lazy mind and build a strong faith. Over and over and over. Proverbs tells us, be careful what you think. Your thoughts run your life. The scripture tells us in the New Testament, over and over, be alert, stand vigilant, be of sober mind. Don't get drunk. Be alert. Be children of the day. But drunkenness tends to dull our senses. And sometimes the Bible means drunkenness in a literal sense and sometimes in a metaphorical sense. Life can just make us drunk. Things of this life can just sort of cloud our mind and our thinking. We don't see reality clearly. We don't see God clearly. Every single day, every single day, your faith, my faith, your beliefs, my beliefs are under constant attack. And we must be ever vigilant to the lies that surround us. I know so many believers, they become so dull, listless. And they're going along in their life and just don't take things seriously. I love you guys. I wish you knew how much I love you, how much I think about, pray about you, how much I love this church. When I say the church, I mean you. The most valuable asset you have in your life is your faith. It's a growing, vibrant faith. There's nothing more important in your life than your faith. Everything flows from that faith. The growing, strengthening belief system of your life in God and in His truth. Jude chapter 1, which is only one chapter, verse 20, this is the Amplified Bible, but it says, You, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher and higher. Now, I'm not making this up. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Make progress like an edifice, like a building, higher and higher and stronger. This is the Message Bible, but you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in your most holy faith. So what do I do to grow my faith? Now, I've been doing this a long time, okay? And I'm saying to you, as God is my witness, there's not a day that goes by that I do not work building my faith. Not a day. And multiple times during my day, I'm building my faith. And when I'm in my car, I make choice. Did you know this? I'm going to share with you that I wish I could spend till midnight tonight with you guys. I really do. I could help you, God's truth. I could help you in every aspect of your life, but you know I've used this analogy before, so please don't throw stones at me for using it again. But there's not a person in this room that I could not help get fit. You know how you get fit? You live it. And we start really small, and you make it a part of your life. And it is a part of my life. And now I'm to 620,000 push-ups. And when you add the other exercises, I'm over 1,200,000. And I do 15 squats every single day. And I'm an old guy, and I just went and had my physical after 20 years, my first one. And he was like, oh, wow, what are you doing? So I told him. I live it. I live fitness. I live it. I live my faith. When I'm in my car, I deliver. I don't have a wreck. I took the little front. I was given a Honda. Well, I wasn't given. I paid for it, but it was like a gift. I took the little thing off the radio, and I threw it away. No radio. And when I'm in my car, sometimes I'm singing. I make up songs. I'm thinking about God. I'm praying for some of you. And I use the time that I'm alone in my car to build my faith, to strengthen my beliefs. And that's not an exaggeration. That's the truth. First thing, if you're going to grow your faith stronger, is grow your knowledge of God and His character. The book of Hosea, chapter 6, says in verse 1, so let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. And He will come to us like the spring rain watering the earth. Now there we have that nature picture again, see? God will water you, but you have to go after God. You have to go after knowing the Lord. You have to pursue the knowledge of God, which we find in His Word. He reveals Himself to us in His Word. He also reveals to us Himself in nature. Some of you remember Faith Walkers a few years ago, and then here even at this service, we gave you the book Inspired Evidence, Only One Reality. Inspired Evidence. That lady who wrote that book actually is a science teacher, and I praise God for Julie, for our homeschooling co-op, for our kids. We are so blessed to have that gal helping speak into our children's lives. But have you ever read it? Do you do the things that build your confidence in the nature and the character of God? Then he goes on in verse 6 of Hosea 6 to say, God says this, I want you to know God. I don't want your burnt offerings, your sacrifices. I want you to know God. Psalm 27, verse 13 is one of my favorites, a life verse for Kathy and I, but it says this. I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I would have despaired. You see, faith affects us emotionally. One of the great secrets to spiritual and emotional health, to emotional stability, to emotional strength, to emotional resolve, is faith in the character of God. Confidence in the various attributes of God. He's good. God is good. He's going to do you good. Good is coming. Good often comes disguised in bad packages, but once it gets fully unwrapped, you realize God was good. God can never not be himself. God is always faithful to who he is, whether you believe it or not. But it's to your own emotional, mental detriment not to believe and embrace that God is good. And what he does is good. He's good. He's good. I've had to fight for that belief. Over the 40-year journey of my life, I fight for that belief. And I get to one rooted depth in that. And then God takes me to another. And then God takes me to another. And then my resolve gets shaken. And then something may happen. And all of a sudden, I'm confronted again. Will I choose to believe God is good? And I have to go wrestle with God on that. And I go talk to God. And we go interact, and I go over the promises of God. I go over the stories of God. And you see that every bad thing that happened in the Old Testament, God eventually, the Reds brought good. Joseph brought good. Even Samson, it ended good. Ruth, it ended good. Esther, it ended good. And God is going to do you good. Because that's who he is. He's going to be faithful. He's merciful. He's understanding. He's compassionate. But do you know that? Do you know him as such? Do you ponder those things? Do you feed your soul on those things? Number two, you've got to build strong convictions. Convictions are the vanguard of the soul. Convictions are things you are convinced of. Or I want you to think of it this way for a moment. Convictions are from the word we get convict. It's a derivative of convict. What is a convict? Someone held behind bars. Convictions are those things that in a good way imprison you. They hold you tight. They protect you from all the other things coming at you. Convictions. I could spend all night talking about convictions. It's so important that you develop convictions. Convictions based on the word of God. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Faith is the conviction of unseen realities. Now there are unseen realities. And then there's realities God reveals to us that if we studied them, if we really studied them and interacted with them and wrestled with them and examined the facts and examined the truth, it's then and only then that we can come to settled conclusions and convictions. You see, we have to work our mind. It is not enough to have knowledge. Convictions come through knowledge that you've thought about and have arrived at the truth based on those things you have pondered. We have to think much about the truth. Much about the truth. You know, you may think, Mark, I know you think this, and that's okay. And it's true to some degree. Mark has opinions about everything, but I can tell you almost all my opinions aren't opinions, they're convictions. That's where you misunderstand me. This is where you miss the strength and the power of conviction. I have convictions about why to buy a used car. I'd be glad to tell you about it. Now, you could have convictions based on your understanding that are different. There are definitely gray areas. There are gray areas in the Bible. I can't prove to you that you ought to buy this brand of car. But I can prove to you the value of economy. I can prove to you the value of frugality. I can prove to you the value of financial priorities based on the Word of God. And it's upon those things my convictions are built. Every decision based on those evaluated priorities in the revealed Word of God. When I talk to you about health, whether you decide to join the club or use the total gym or walk or whatever, that's up to you. But the conviction of stewardship of the one body God gave to you and I can prove that to you biblically. I can show you that the diligent man will prosper. The lazy person will come to ruin. And I can promise you that as you get older and look back on your life and begin to suffer, you'll wish to God that you had developed different physical priorities of your life. Those are convictions. Absolute convictions. I can show you why I have a conviction, why I'm not going to put junk into the one body I have, but everything plays into the goals that I have in my life. If it doesn't fit in the goal, I just don't do it. If it doesn't fit in the goal, I don't eat it. That's a reality for me. This is not a game for me. This is a reality. It's based on convictions. I have convictions as to why I seldom, if ever, miss a church service. Partly it's because of my job. But I love it. And way before it was my job, I didn't miss him. I didn't miss him. And my family was going to go out of town. We went out of town after. Because I have a conviction about the value of being with the people of God. For it's in the service here that God also has built my faith. I have convictions. And I could go on and on and on and on about those convictions. What are yours? I have convictions about the family based on the Word of God. I have convictions based on how Kathy and I lived our life for 36 years based on the Word of God. Convictions. And when all the criticisms came and all the people, well, we don't like that, and all the slander came, I just went to the Word of God. These are convictions. And I'm confident, God, as we follow you, we will reap the promised reward of God for the way we parented and the way we loved and the way we trained and the way we interacted with our children. Those are convictions based on the principles of God that I spent lots and lots and lots of time poring over, reading, thinking about, studying. And looking at the evidence of those who don't do the things of God, and it's very, very clear what does not work. And then I had the privilege of knowing some who are following the ways of God, and I could examine the fruit. Brother and sister, I'm telling you right now, the devil's greatest goal is to help you go about Christianity in a lazy, lackadaisical manner, and he'll destroy you. He's got you. He'll ruin you. He takes no prisoners. He'd destroy your life. Now, destruction looks different to a lot of people. But I'd be glad sometime if you ever wanted to call or write to tell you destruction can look really, really bad, and sometimes it can look really, really good. But if you take the definition of destruction from the Word of God, both are bad. We've got to learn to build our convictions. Convictions give you mental and emotional resolve. They make you strong in life. Every single day, I give effort to strengthening my convictions by what I read, what I think about, and through the many moments of my day. I'd like to share with you a life verse. I actually have a book at home. I've been carrying this around, a little card, but today I just wrote it on this paper instead of bringing the card. This is Mark. I didn't pick it because it's my namesake, but it's easy for me to remember. And it seemed more personal. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Now listen really carefully to this. And Jesus said to them, "Be careful what you are hearing." Be careful. Are you careful? Are you careful? Okay, let's just be honest. Most of the stuff on the radio is absolute trash. It will not help you build your faith. It will simply numb you and entertain you as you're driving down the road or as you're doing your workout. But it won't build you up. Not most of it. Some of it will. Fortunately, you have devices that you can choose to put stuff on that will build you up. But do you? But do you? That's the big question, isn't it? Taylor Swift is not going to build you up. I'm just being honest with you. I love music. I'm a musician. My kids are all musicians. We love music. And I'm not saying if you like a Taylor Swift song, great. Good for you. There's no problem. Just make sure you don't make it the basis of your life. Just make sure it hasn't accidentally influenced the way you think about and dream about guys. Be very, very careful. Be very, 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 very careful how we think. Now, so listen to this. Be careful what you're hearing. The measure The measure, the degree of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue, which means character, moral righteousness, and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear carefully. This has been my life verse since I was 19 years old. And I have been increasingly, as I grow, careful and careful, and gave lots of time and thought and study to the truth I was hearing. And I evaluated it, and I thought about it, and I made pretty big life decisions based on it. And I took a lot of flack at different times in my life for it, and it did not knock me off dead center. At times it shook me up. At times it made me emotional. At times it broke my heart. At times it made me cry. It made me run to God every time. And many, 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 many hours I have spent, hundreds of hours talking over my life to God, my fears with God, the truths with God. God, help me build this. But listen, this verse, you can't ignore it and get away with it. You can't. So here's another way to look at it. The measure of thought and study you don't give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that does not come back to you, and you will be one lean and empty soul. See, you read it in reverse, because it's true. It's true. Can't be trifled with. We can't trifle with the things of God. We can't trifle with the eternal truths of God. They can't be changed. They can't be altered. They're laws. I was pondering today as I was driving down the road. You know, there's people who think to themselves, man, the Bible, God, he just got so many laws. You ever had people tell you that? The Bible's a comic book compared to the U.S. government. If I put on this stage the laws right now, they'd stand this high, and that's just the federal. Did you know, you go to websites on this, did you know that every one of us today broke a number of laws? We don't even know they're on the books, we broke them. I'm not supposed to spit on a sidewalk, but I do it all the time. This government, I mean, there's laws on where you urinate. There's laws on how many gallons can be in your toilet. That's why they plug up so much, because we only want 1 gallon to go. There used to be 2 or 3. They regulate. You talk about legalism. This government is out the wazoo, not God. But God's truths cannot be trifled with. They are true. They are perfect. There's no political motive with God. There's no corruption involved with his laws and his decrees and his precepts. They're for your good. They're all for your good. All for your good. Recently, in my times of prayer, here's another thing that's just been really invigorating me, really refreshing, really striking. So, you know, sometimes as human beings, we can think to ourselves, boy, I worked so hard for this. I deserve this. I deserve that. Boy, look what my hands did. So I was thinking the other day, you know, when the Bible says to us, and I know this is hard to believe, what do you have that you did not receive? A lot, Lord. I worked for all of this. Really? Really? So I'm just praying. See, this is how I am out in my garage. And I'm like, Lord, it's just amazing to me. I was thinking about this, Lord. And I'm walking around my van, see, in the garage. So when I don't go outside, I walk around the van. I said, Lord, you know, I was just thinking about this. I mean, here I am. I'm standing on a planet that you spoke into being. It's hung perfectly in the universe with a sun at the exact distance from this planet that you wanted, that provides us just what we need, and sun and, you know, and heat and then cool. Oh, and talk about the balance of oxygen in the air. And then I'm walking, Lord, right now, of course, on my concrete, Lord, made from the sand and the rock that you put in the ground for nothing. Oh, yeah, the entire planet is stocked full of every single resource we need. The oil, it's there. The trees, they're there. Oh, and guess what? Man took the hands that you gave him for nothing, with the blood in his veins that was a gift, and the heart that pumps it that was a gift, to take those hands, to take that free tree, chop it down, and mold it into something useful, Lord. With the brain, you gave them to think with. Wow, we're just amazing creatures, aren't we? We don't think like that. We do not think that way. You do not go through that mental exercise. I'll bet there may not be a person in this room who last week went through that exercise as they were talking with God. Do you grasp, do you understand that God, the creator of the world, your Father, spoke it into being and it was perfection. Everything balanced, every molecule. Photosynthesis, all that goes on, all the plant life, all the animal, all the insects, all the bugs. Everything's got a purpose. And then God knit you together in the womb and gave you my personality. I didn't come up with this personality. He gave it to me. And I've simply learned. And then I haven't even got to the spiritual. Then, my gosh, he sends his son. He allows us to be born again. And gives us eternity and his spirit to live inside of us. You see, you know the secret to gratitude? You know the secret to gratitude? You want to know the secret to really feeling good? You got to do these kinds of mental, emotional, spiritual exercises. And if you don't, you're just kind of blah going through life because you just don't get it. It hasn't registered. It hasn't computed to you how incredibly generous God has been with us. It's incredible. It's awe-inspiring. And you, brother and sister, this almost makes me cry. We are more awed by the new stupid app on our phone than we are with God. And by the way, not all apps are stupid. Some are really helpful and useful. But I'm just pointing out that, wow, all of a sudden, Google Earth, well, I can see my old house. So what? God's got every hair numbered on your head. We get more awed by the little toys and the trinkets than we get awed by the master and the creator and what he's done and what he's doing right now and living in that awareness, which, by the way, is a secret to vitality and spiritual vigor. We've got to learn. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and reading and studying and thinking about his word? We got to learn to meditate, Romans 10:17. We got to learn to think about God's truth. Read it. Interact with it in your mind and in your heart. I was so touched today. I got to tell you this. One of my daughter's Facebook, my oldest daughter, and my two little granddaughters, and they're sitting on a little couch, and they got their little journals, and Celeste made some comment like, the sisters are really excited. They have their own little journals they call devotionals, and now like the little brothers are going to be writing down a verse each morning. And I wrote to my daughter, you know, in an email, because I don't do Facebook. I just stare at it, but I don't write or nothing on it. And I said, Celeste, I said, you don't know how overwhelmed with joy I am to see you carrying on this tradition, because it will pay dividends in the years to come. As those little children, just they learn to just develop a habit of, oh, write that verse. You write it down. It makes you think about it a little more, and it builds and it builds and it builds. That may have been the most significant habit that our children had and we gave to them as they grew when they were little. From the first they could learn to write, we got each of them a little journal and taught them how to read the little scripture and write something down. Faith comes by hearing. Strong disciple. I've got a couple of people out here. I won't talk about them, but I could brag about them. Young individual I've been working with, seeing God work in his life tremendous ways. He goes, Mark, 2 or 3 hours every day when I'm cleaning pools and I'm doing work, I'm just listening to you. I'm listening to truth. I'm listening to messages. I wish I could share with you Christina's story, have Christina Neiman come up here. She was in El Salvador going through a very difficult time. And she had kind of lost her connection with God. And so we talked about it. I was in Berlin at the time. We're talking long distance over email, back and forth. About 60 emails in that week went back and forth. And I was just encouraging her. And then she started listening to tapes. And she's the one who came back and loaded up all those messages on the Strong Disciple, taking them from CD and well, many she had to burn from tapes to a CD and then put them on an MP3. And she said, Mark, I was listening to the word so much. She said, it transformed my reality and my connection with God. If we just listen to the Word of God. Number four, attendance at church will build your faith. The church is designed to strengthen and build your faith. It surrounds you with other believers whose journey and faith will strengthen and encourage your own. Just about every couple I've watched struggle over the years, and I've seen a lot of them. You know what happened? First habit started to leave. They left. They just started to drift from church. They just didn't show up. They were very infrequent attenders. I can tell you right now, Kathy and I have never been infrequent attenders. Never. Never. Not in 40 years. Never. Never. Because I realize it's a critical part of keeping our faith strong and building it and keeping it strengthened. The Bible says in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together, as is the habit of some, but continue meeting together, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We start to drift. The last one, I wish I had, again, lots of time, but I don't. I just can comment on it. Take steps of faith. Dare to step out and believe God to come through on his promises. The more you act on God's promises, the more you'll see him act, and the more your faith will grow strong, deep, and vibrant. Simple example. I'll give you a couple simple ones, then we got to close. Money. I was a young man. I was in debt. I was working a whole lot of hours. And the first time I ever heard, I was about 25 years old, I heard about tithing. I got home from that message, and I went into the Word of God myself, the book of Malachi. You can read it yourself. And God says, test me now. We call it the divine dare. Test me and see if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven for you. Test me. Give me what's mine, God says. You're cheating me, Mark. You're cheating me. You owe me, Mark, according to my calculations, about $120 a month, Mark. You haven't been giving me anything. That's when I was 25. Now it's a little bit more than that. Since I came in contact with that truth, since I went over that truth in my own heart, I went through it over the Word. I went to my wife. We're driving home. I never forget this. We're driving home that day. She said, Mark, what do you think about that message? I said, well, honey, what do you think about that message? She said, Mark, I think it's in the Word. We need to do it. That's part of why I married that woman. She says, so committed, just do it. I said, honey, can I explain to you what just doing it will mean? She goes, yeah. I said, that $120, I've been paying that extra on our loans so that I have to work 4 more years, 75-hour weeks. So what that will mean is you'll be more of a single mom here in the trailer park longer, and the debts that I'm trying to pay won't get paid off as fast. If I divert God the money that he's supposed to get. And she said to me, Mark, if I had to be here a single mom, so to speak, in this trailer for 10 years, but we were honoring God, I would take that any day than having you home sooner. Now that is a woman who rocked my world. And that's what we did. And we have not missed a time in our life from that time on to give every month. God, this is yours. God's, this is yours. And I could tell you story upon story upon story of the faithful provision of God. I know what it's like to be a family man. I know what it's like to struggle. I've had 4 children. I saw all of them go to college. I saw God came through for every single one. And still today, he's coming through. And he's answered my prayers. And I go back to that verse. Malachi, a few weeks ago, I just spent the week, every day, reading all 4 chapters over and over. It was so rich. So many things there to say. Will you step out in faith and start believing God? Your faith will never grow strong if you don't exercise it. If you don't step out and say, you know what, God, I'm walking on that limb and I'm going to do what you asked me to do, and I'm going to trust you to come through on your promises. Father, we just thank you tonight. We just thank you, Lord. I'd rather be here, Lord, than watching the world's greatest fireworks, in the universe. I would rather be here with the people of God. I'd rather be pondering, talking about, interacting on the truth of God than on a boat in the water. And I sincerely mean that. What a privilege, Lord, it is to be with the people of God, the majestic ones, your children, and talking about the truths of the living God. They are transformative. God, help us build a strong, dynamic, and vibrant, unshakable faith. In Jesus' name, amen.